Thank you very much, Owen. And I think I should start by thanking Paul for the opportunity to speak this morning. Yes, I'm still slightly in holiday mode, so anything could happen, as Paul said earlier as well. I'm Roger Leake, for those of you who are new or don't know me. Roll Up Your Sleeves is the title that Paul gave me, and I carefully made sure that today I'm wearing a shirt which doesn't have sleeves to be rolled up. Although I noticed Paul has rolled up his sleeves as he started to take the service, so perhaps he's at least living out what he wanted me to talk about. And rolling up the sleeves, of course, is probably something which you would do to take action, to start to do something in preparation perhaps for some messy task. Perhaps you don't want to get your sleeves dirty, or perhaps it's because you want to get a suntan, and there's been quite a bit of that around over the recent weeks. Too often in the past and probably present days, Christians have been accused of being all talk and pious sentiments and no action. And in that letter, which Owen's just read to us, James, of course, writes, "Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to the word. Instead, put it into practice." And much of James's letter is concerned with conduct, about what to say and not to say, and doing good deeds. And, of course, James mentions particularly supporting widows and orphans. James, in effect, is exposing the sham of a type of Christianity which is involved in saying and thinking good things, but being blind to the needs of others. But it's also important to understand right from the very beginning that Christianity and Jesus does not demand works as a method of salvation. It is clear that you cannot work your way into heaven by doing good deeds. And in fact, salvation is the grace of God, a gift from God. And nothing we can do or say can help us to earn or deserve salvation through Christ. But if we're assured of God's salvation, if we know the love of God in our lives, then we will want to share that through actions with others. And so the passage which was mentioned by Paul from Matthew about salt and light. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And that is one of the reasons for doing it, so that God receives praise. Light shines out, and light is particularly obvious in the darkness. When we go out into the darkness of the night, we see the lights shining out. It might be the cathedral lit up against the sky, floodlit, or it might be some other building, or it might even be, if you live out in the country as I do, the stars itself. And of course, the stars shine brighter in the darkness. And so we as Christians are called to shine in the darkness. And that may take us to some very dark places in order that we shine. It is not easy to shine in the light. But shine we should. And you know what happens to, I've done this many times before, I spared you the demonstration this morning, to what happens if you put a bowl on top of a candle? What happens? The candle goes out, exactly, smothered by the fact that it is not shining out, and because it's not shining out, there's no oxygen to continue with the process of burning. And if you keep your light to yourself, I fear that in time it may go out, smothered because it has not had the chance to display to others. So the light should be placed on a lampstand. Shine out. Salt, of course, was used widely before refrigeration and freezers existed to preserve food. And food that was likely to decay was coated in salt to preserve it. So Christians were seen, when Jesus mentioned the use of salt, as being like preservers, something to add to society, to preserve that which is good, and in order to benefit society as a whole. Salt also adds flavor. Now, we've had mention this morning of the Great British Bake Off. Paul is obviously planning yet again to enter his fruitcake. I don't know whether he, did you use salt? Or perhaps he's not going to reveal in this secret recipe. He can't remember. He can't remember whether he uses salt or not. But clearly there are certain dishes where salt is used, and it can, of course, add flavor. And so, like so many things, we as Christians should be adding flavor to that which we see around us. It is the Christian influence often which adds that variety to life and gives a greater flavor. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." You know, there are many ways of serving Christ, but all involve doing. But I've found that some of the most happy people, the most content people, the most focused people are those who are involved in serving others. And I'm sure that that is partly what Jesus means about that passage. To lose your life serving him is in fact to find a life which is much greater in richness in serving others. Ultimately, self-serving becomes negative. Serving others becomes a positive experience, and you become more effective at dealing with your own problems through serving others. Indeed, recent studies have suggested that doing voluntary work is more effective in dealing with some forms of depressive illness than taking medication. And some have suggested that one way of dealing with people who have depression is to give them some form of service to help them focus on other aspects. And because of this, Christians are called to roll up their sleeves and serve in action. And there are literally many Christians, thousands, who over the years have influenced thousands and thousands of different individuals. I won't go through the list. You can go and Google it for yourself. There are 20 in a particular list that's been put together of people who are supposed to have influenced thousands, possibly millions, over the years. George Muller, for example, who established orphanages, Frederick George Handel, William Wilberforce, Robert Raikes, who founded the Sunday School movement. And then I suspect that probably in years to come, we might see the founder of CAP, Christians Against Poverty, which is now a huge organization going throughout Britain and helping thousands, along with possibly the Trussell Trust for the food banks, as being evidence of Christian movements that have started, often in very small ways, and which having by seeing a particular need, have grown out of all expectation. Each one of us, of course, can play our part in trying to help and serve the society around us. Each of the people who I've mentioned started out trying to serve God in the way in which they best could, using their skills and abilities, and then in the power of the Spirit, they have been used to bring light and salt to the society in which they live. How much better is society as a result of those Christians who have been called to serve God for the betterment of the world? You see, Jesus was not a theoretical theologian. He never went and studied at a university. He may have been the world's greatest teacher, but he was also a man of action. And if you don't believe me, read the Gospel of Mark, because throughout the Gospel of Mark, it is filled with one activity after another, as Jesus' ministry unfolds with almost breathtaking speed. And we get the sense that the disciples experienced a whirlwind of activity, a series of events, one after the other. Being with Jesus was not boring or mundane, far from it. You never knew what he was going to do next. He calmed storms, he healed the sick, he turned water into wine. Driving out the money changers from the temple, he fed thousands, he walked miles, he spoke with anybody who wished to listen. Jesus was not content to tell his disciples what to do, but he showed them how to do it. And even washing his disciples' feet, as he literally rolled up his sleeves, was shown as a symbol of service and humility, and sees Jesus teaching through his actions. Now, we also have to have a balance here, for Jesus also spent a great deal of time in prayer and meditation. He knew his Father's will because he was one with the Father. And so we need to ensure that we follow the example of Jesus. We need to ensure that we stay close to him and guided by the Holy Spirit. And perhaps as we think about rolling up our sleeves, we need to commit prayerfully what it is that the Lord wants us to do. But when the sick needed healing, Jesus healed. And in the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus commends those who did something for his brothers and sisters. And so each Christian is called in their own way to serve God in the way that God calls them to serve. It is something which perhaps we need to think about. The end of the holidays are nigh, and perhaps as new term starts, it's the opportunities to think about how you could be involved in one way or another. There are, of course, organized activities, and I dare mention the number of church groups and activities that are taking place here, and which need, of course, volunteers and those to be involved. Helping with services, providing coffee after the church services, helping with Fuse and Ignite, perhaps at some stage offering to cook for an alpha meal. There's a new initiative starting, as we've heard, when the cafe opening on Fridays. There are so many opportunities in this church because, like good churches, I have to say this is a chance for all to get involved. Roll up your sleeves and serve as you are called. And then there are perhaps what I would better not call disorganized activities, but random acts of kindness and helping others. You never know the opportunity. Jesus didn't either. As he was walking around, people came to him. And maybe in your daily life, people will come to you for perhaps cooking a meal for someone in need, talking to someone, perhaps taking the time to phone somebody who needs a conversation. Or perhaps doing something practical, like taking somebody to church by car, or doing some neighbor's shopping. There are many ways to serve Jesus, and Jesus calls us to serve each according to our abilities. He does not call you to serve to do the things you cannot do. He calls you to do the things that he has given you the opportunity to do and the things that you can do. All need a willingness to engage. And if we are open to Jesus, we'll be willing to open our lives and roll up our sleeves as we are called. Now, I have to confess that one of the things I do, certainly at the beginning of this holiday, was I was present for 10 days or thereabouts, along with my family, for a holiday camp in North Wales for young people, ages 5 to 18. All these young people attend schools in the north of England. Most of them have some input into the Christian unions in those schools, and they get together over the summer for a high activity holiday founded largely in 1966 and continuing on since then in Llandudno in North Wales. There are in fact three which run now, each of 10 days, so there's the A, B and C, and I was privileged to go on the B one, the middle of the week. I'm too old, I'm afraid, to do many of the activities. This is a high activity holiday. So nowadays I'm relegated as the buyer for the camp. I've got a forensic knowledge, unfortunately, I have to confess, of the shelves of Booker's Cash and Carry in Llandudno and of Asda. Name me a product and I can tell you which shelf and which section you should be heading for so you can get it. 100 and so people do need a lot of food, and there's a certain amount of lifting involved as well. And then there's the challenges. One of the things that I find is that you never know what you're going to be asked to get. There's always the baked beans and the toilet rolls, but then in addition to that, you find all sorts of strange things come up on the list. This year, for example, kaffir lime leaves were requested by the chef. Not many, only 4 packets, please, about 40 odd in each packet, please. Chinese supermarket, Llandudno, excellent place to get kaffir lime leaves if you get stuck. What about 20 metres of rope cut into 2 metre sections because we need it for raft building? I can tell you where to get that. You'll have to go to Clamberis. And then, of course, there's the real challenge. I was asked to get a floating rubber toy which could be used by the kayakers for their competition. A rubber chicken from the pet shop was supplied. It's amazing what you can get in Llandudno if you really have to. I also have the privilege of driving minibuses, not, I have to say, because I'm a particularly good minibus driver, but simply because when I passed the test, they gave me that right to drive a minibus, and so many of the young people these days don't get that right when they pass the test, and so driving children through winding Welsh roads in minibuses to the different activities is part of the way in which I serve. Now, I was going to go on and on about this, but actually I know you get terribly bored. So I thought I'd show you the video. There is somebody who puts together a video of each camp and or each activity holiday, and I hope they might have got it lined up at the back, and it will save me explaining it to you. And if you look carefully, and you have to look very carefully, you just might see me. Okay, yes, play it, yes. Okay.
Keep on repairing, and smiles with nights and times.
I should also pay tribute to my wife and my daughter, who are largely responsible for the food you saw there, because they also were part of the team who were catering in the kitchen. Why do I do it? Well, because it's such great fun. And I have to say, serving Christ is never a great burden. You always get back more than you could ever expect. It may be that it's the joy of seeing young people come to Christ for the first time. It may be that it's the joy of seeing those who you've seen over years go on not only to university, but then into leadership positions. It may be that it's the joy of seeing those who in time even go into full-time ministry. No fewer than 50 have gone into full-time ministry from the camps to date. And I've been incredibly privileged to share with those young people on the activities as we run them and we take them to and from those activities. And you too could be amazed by serving Christ. Roll up your sleeves and see, because Christ will never be your debtor. And for everything that you serve him, he will serve you in some and unexpected ways. Amen.